From the halls of every school in Michigan, this is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now, take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
This week on the program, we have a great lineup to showcase all the wonderful university opportunities that are right here in our own backyard in metropolitan Detroit. We'll be joined by Dr. Charles Cotton III from Wayne State University and Dr. Lisa Kujawa from Lawrence Tech University. All this and more coming up. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is Dr. Charles Cotton III, the Vice Provost for Strategic Enrollment in the Division of Academic Affairs at Wayne State University. Welcome to the program, Dr. Cotton.
Thanks for having me.
So part of our focus today, we've spent some time on this program over the past several months, interviewing and talking with guests about different opportunities for students after high school. And there's been, I wouldn't call it a debate, but there's been at least a discussion about whether or not a four-year college degree is worth what it once was, and should you be pursuing other opportunities that are more career relevant or whatnot. And I found your work at the university pretty intriguing and compelling as far as the value of a college education, and I wanted to have you on the program. So let me start with this. You know, many parents believe that college is sort of out of reach financially. And what would you say to reassure them, especially through your channels at Wayne State?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think oftentimes folks see, you know, the rising costs of things, inflation being in two, cars are more expensive, houses are more expensive, education also being one of those things that a sticker price continues to creep up. But, you know, in particular, you know, higher education in many ways, particularly in Michigan, has been more affordable than most folks think. There's been significant investments of recent into Michigan higher education, given the Michigan Achievement Scholarship, providing up to $5,500 a year for students to attend four-year institutions, which have also been backed by institutions' own commitments. You know, at Wayne State, we've launched the Heart of Detroit Tuition Pledge, providing, you know, full tuition coverage and standard fees for Detroiters. Our Wayne State Guarantee that provides full tuition and fees for both Pell-eligible students, but also families who make $80,000 or less and with assets of $50,000 or less. But again, when we think about that rise in costs, I think one thing that we've been very mindful of in the higher education space is to mitigate those increases. I mean, we've often risen much lower than that rate of inflation.
You know, you really make a compelling case for someone, the old saying, if there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've known many college students over the years who maybe aren't sure what they want to do when they start school. But many of them don't have the capacity or the drive to try to figure it out. And having been affiliated with the university for as long as I have, there are a million ways to engage at a university if you set out to do that in order to make that education that much more worthwhile. So you lay out a pretty good case of all the different ways to reduce the financial burden, especially here in Michigan. So as a student coming out of high school, what role do you think high school educators and counselors play in helping students and parents understand that college affordability path?
Yeah. Teachers and school counselors still serve as, you know, some of the top influencers, typically outside of parents and peers, in helping students direct their, what I reference as paths, right? Exposing students to more opportunities, whether that's two-year, four-year, or technical education, or going directly into career pursuits. I think it's increasingly important that our teachers and school counselors are doing what they can to dispel myths as they hear them. They are often recipients of those same same collegiate educations that I think is helpful for students to know that there is a way, as you referenced earlier, with that if there's a will, there's a way statement, mm-hmm. but that there are institutions of higher education ready to walk alongside students as early as elementary school to start helping them prepare for collegiate success for either them and their parents. Presenting to students opportunities to start completing FAFSAs earlier. The free application for federal student aid is incredibly important because many of those funding sources that I referenced are only accessible to students if they complete that very important form.
You know, you make a really good point. In my experience in education, we have seen lots of school districts do a great job of hosting things like college fairs or university nights or financial aid nights where they bring students and parents in and really walk them through the entire process, especially the FAFSA process.
Yeah.
Now, that, in my experience, that has improved over the years, but it is still, it's every bit as trying to itemize your taxes on the Form 1040 yeah. When you have to get into all the parent income and filing status.
Yeah. That's incredibly daunting, right? When you think about the large number of first-generation students seeking higher education for the first time who have family members who have no exposure to that,
right.
How do we fill those voids? And that's something both the K-12 entities, community-based organizations, and Wayne State has really been trying to stand up is that additional support. We partner with the Michigan College Access Network just this summer as a part of their FAFSA Frenzy effort. And we're out in the streets, right, throughout the city, finding opportunities to engage with students and families where they are, whether that be attending high school football games and sitting down and walking through FAFSA questions or actually helping people complete it there on the spot, I think is incredibly beneficial for folks.
Yes, we're currently with Dr. Charles Cotton III, the Vice Provost for Strategic Enrollment at Wayne State University. I want to stay on the whole parent role in this mm-hmm. process because one thing I've learned over the years in working with parents, and I think this is a really good message for our School Talks listeners, when you sit down to complete a FAFSA mm-hmm. form, it's really important to get all of the documents and information ready that it's going to ask yep. for. And there are directions and a checklist of what you're going to need, because there is nothing more frustrating than, like you said, a parent who doesn't have any experience navigating mm-hmm. this, sitting down, and then all of a sudden needing to use the IRS data retrieval tool to find out their filing status from last year. And lots of little things like, you know, how much money do you have in the bank? How many dependents are at home?
Mm-hmm.
It is a pretty daunting process. So let me shift gears for a minute.
Yeah.
What makes Wayne State University stand out compared to other universities in Michigan?
I think there's many things. You know, one in particular is our geographic presence. We're a Research One institution, one of four of the highest classification in our state, but we're the only one centered in an urban setting. So when you combine opportunities for access to the highest quality research, to educational experience that is, you know, in some ways unrivaled by most. You also have that coupled with a college to career experience that you really can't find elsewhere in our state. When we think about the vast amount of our partnerships that exist within the city of Detroit for internships for our students, for co-op experiences for our students, and then the breadth of alumni that we have placed in those same organizations who know the current experience that our students are going through, oftentimes not just provides them with an internship placement, but sometimes leads to lifelong mentorship. And so I think those pieces are things that we really wear with pride at Wayne State University and attracting students not only from across our state, but also outside the state, across the country, and internationally as well.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit more about how we prepare students for careers and whatnot, but I need to first take a break.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come back after a word from our sponsors, we'll continue this conversation. So stay right there.
Sounds great.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Once again at the head of the class, Dr. Livernoy.
We're back here with Dr. Charles Cotton III, the Vice Provost for Strategic Enrollment at Wayne State University. And just before the break, we were talking about the presence of Wayne State University in Detroit. And I wanted to follow up with you. You mentioned all the opportunities that are available in the city, and I can't help but think Detroit's resurgence in the last 10 years or so and all of the activity that's going on has only strengthened that capacity. And I can tell you firsthand, two of my daughters are graduates of Wayne State and work right downtown. And they're both graduates of the Mike Ilitch School of Business, and they're doing well. And so as a follow-up to that, when we talk about mentors and opportunities in the city, how does Wayne State help prepare students for their careers?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we have resources and, you know, career services, which is something that's kind of goes hand in hand with higher education. It's very important to bring a student in who may be 17, 18 years old, or an adult learner trying to figure out a career pivot, but give them some level ground, irregardless of how they're entering the space, not truly knowing what they want to study, or maybe knowing that they want to study history, but not sure of what they can do with that from a career pursuits perspective outside of education or working in a museum, two things that we have an abundance of within our state. It's incredibly important for us to provide exposure to various avenues to students early and often, both from a career aspect, but also from other opportunities that exist on our campus, how they may be able to couple that with other tangible skills that will benefit them in the workplace for future employers. So, you know, as I referenced earlier, we do that via partnership with major employers and internship opportunities, but we also do that by connecting them with, you know, top-tier faculty, both who've been practitioners in their field, who come to our institution to serve as adjuncts, to our tenure-track faculty, who enter our institution from all across the world, right, to bring their expertise.
Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about these kinds of opportunities to support students in their careers. Tell us a little bit about the support services available for students, sort of away from the academic career side and maybe on the social-emotional side.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Higher education is a place where we work and try to support the whole student. You only are as effective as your temple is protected, right? And that is your mental health and well-being being incredibly important for students to find success. When we talk about the value of higher education, you really only see that value should you complete and get that tangible piece of paper in some ways. And so it's important for us to make sure folks aren't only accessing our course curriculum, but they're making it across that graduation stage. And so we do that via establishing connection via hundreds of student organizations on our campus that connect students to other like-minded students, whether that be industry related, whether that be co-curricular and a sport that somebody may want to continue to pursue, whether that also be engaging with our transfer student population and adult learners. We have a transfer student success center where we navigate, you know, thousands of students who transfer to our institution each year and get them connected to folks who've had similar experiences, but also integrated into our broader community as a whole, expose them to the resources, whether it be necessities of our first-time students, transfer students, of our food pantry, finding daycare support in the community, finding restaurants where folks can connect and engage with community. We do a lot of that work within the walls of our campus to truly expose our students to the fact that Detroit is our playground and our true educational hub.
And, you know, one thing I've sort of watched develop over the years, you know, Wayne State has always been associated as a commuter school, just given its location and that. And the quality work that the university has done with dormitories and things, there are times when I'm down there that it does not feel like a commuter school.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Just because of the number of students that are out and about and engaging in one another. And that's a really... that's a really positive thing. So we're currently here with Dr. Charles Cotton III, the Vice Provost for Strategic Enrollment at Wayne State University. I want to double back to, we started this conversation a little bit about the finance aspect of schools and that. And what advice would you give to parents who worry about their children taking on student debt? And what would be the best way for them to approach this issue?
Yeah, I mean, first thing I would share is, you know, if I could, a very brief story. You know, this fall, the provost of our institution and our president and I were all visiting with a elementary school and connecting with fifth graders and talking to them about higher education, and was actually both encouraging and also a little bit saddening to hear so many fifth graders, right? I wasn't even thinking about college then, but who asked us the question of around affordability in their own words, right? Like, is this affordable? Or somebody told me that I can't do this, right? And what's challenging about that is there's so much that goes into being prepared for higher education as an option. And a lot of that is making sure that you're motivated to do well in school and that this isn't just something you need to get through. But to be in an elementary school and already hearing things that you can't do, when we know, as we work to dispel some of those myths, that it's becoming more and more accessible for students and families, is incredibly important. So to your question around how do we provide some tools for parents is to one, seek out those supports. Your local school districts are often very aware of the opportunities that exist. Institutions of higher education are willing and able to engage with parents and guardians as early as they are interested in having conversation as well. But just letting your student know that it is possible. It is one of many paths for them by the time that they graduate high school. And so I think, visiting college fairs are incredibly important. You can arrange visits at Wayne State, whether you're in elementary school, middle school, high school, or post-graduation. And so knowing that you can take on those opportunities effectively at no cost, I think is incredibly helpful for families.
I want to extend that that thought. What can high school students do now to reduce college costs in the future?
Yeah.
Given your take on that.
So it's quite a few things. Many of our school partners, as we work closely with quite a few school districts, offer an abundance of advanced placement or international baccalaureate coursework, which allows students to, as early in some cases as their ninth grade year, take courses that would be eligible for college credit so long as they pass the appropriate testing at the end of that semester. But also, many high schools have opportunities for dual enrollment with local community colleges or four-year institutions like Wayne State. We offer an abundance of dual enrollment coursework, particularly on our campus on Saturdays for Detroit Public Schools students, to our extension centers where we host opportunities in Macomb, et cetera. And so students who are able to explore some of those options early not only bring in collegiate credits with them that accelerates their time to degree, but it also allows them to start having some of that early exposure to what do I want to do after my baccalaureate pursuits.
That's an interesting connection, because if you clear some of those courses out early, you can begin that exploration sooner.
Absolutely.
Which might help make a more informed process for them.
And most of those dual enrollment courses, AP, IP courses, come at no cost to the student. Many institutions try to fit into the state appropriations for that coursework. So it is a significant cost saving.
That's fantastic. Dr. Charles Cotton III, Vice Provost for Strategic Enrollment, you've made a compelling case here today for Wayne State University and the value of a four-year degree. I appreciate your time joining us on School Talks, and keep up the great work.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is the Vice President for Enrollment Management at Lawrence Tech University, Lisa Kujawa. Welcome to the program, Lisa.
Thank you so much.
So, Lisa, I'm sure you're very much aware in your role as Vice President of Enrollment Management and all the work you've done in outreach, trying to attract students to the university, to know very well that the state of Michigan at large has placed a substantial emphasis on career and technical education. And within that education realm, there are very specific pathways that address particular career opportunities once students are done, whether it's technical training, going to university, or some version in between that. And the Lawrence Tech University has a really impressive, I think, look at how academic pathways are available for students. And I was hoping that you could share with our School Talks listeners how the university supports and offers those pathways for students at the university level.
Yes, and first of all, let me apologize, Dr. Livernois. I know who I'm speaking with. Thank you so much again for the opportunity to talk about this. So this is a huge deal in Michigan, the CTE. All schools are trying to identify their niche, right? What they can show their worth or value. And when we started to develop the early college or the early middle college, we realized that very quickly a lot of these high schools wanted them to be CTE focused. And that means that they had not just the degree itself, but also an advisory board, which most CTE programs do have an advisory board, which has people from whether it's a university or a high school or a corporation who help the students find internships, co-ops, or understand what it means to be in that profession. The third thing they do is it is a pathway. So there are, for example, we have a certificate in design, a certificate in cybersecurity, a certificate in game design. And one of the things we're doing with Randolph Academy, with all the trades and unions there, is developing programs that sit next to what they do. So students can see that pathway. What you would do in a plumbing certificate or internship or apprenticeship, and how that could relate to moving forward into a certificate or some courses in higher education. And I think that's important because students need to see the various ways you can get to finishing what you started. And there's multiple ways versus forcing students who may not think immediately they want to go to college, that there's opportunities prior to even getting to there, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So, for example, during a student's career at your middle college, are there any early opportunities for them to get hands-on experience in their field through internships or co-ops or even research projects at the school?
Great question. So all the students who are in the early middle college, and I'll take Henry Ford High School as an example because they were our first early middle college, they attend our research day, which has all the different projects and activities that both our students and our faculty do with industry, with the federal government, and the state of Michigan. So they're able to understand, you know, based on that research that's being done at different levels, undergrad, grad, what's happening in that industry. So they're involved in that. We also have an advisory board that works with the students to help them get those internships and co-ops. Those students also, we have them go to the career fairs that we have on campus for our own college students. And why do we do that? Because we ask the employers to ask the high school students specific questions they would if they were a college student. We ask the high school students to give their resumes to the employers so they can do. And actually, some of these students have, there's at least five of them in the time that we've been doing this, actually got jobs from the going to the career fair. So we try to do it in the classroom, out of the classroom, with other professionals who can mentor them. So in so many different ways, so once again, they can see themselves and there's paths to get there.
You know, as they move through the middle college and into, say, the university setting, I'm curious of what kinds of alumni support or networking opportunities do your students have as they approach or after they graduate, especially in some of these competitive industries and these career pathways?
So once again, another great, great question. So it's interesting you bring up alumni. I'm going to give you one example. As our president goes out, and of course, what's the most important job of a president? He goes out to fundraise. And as he was fundraising, he talked to a lot of alumni that have made it very, very big in their own professions. And one person is the president of Borg Warner, who is an LTU alum. And he was told about the early middle college, and he got so interested. There was another man who sits on our board who also his father graduated from the university. Both of these gentlemen gave us funds for these kids who graduated from the early middle college and pursued a bachelor's degree with LTU. That was our first cohort from Henry Ford. And they gave over $3 million together. That allowed those students from Henry Ford to come here and paid less than $6,000 for 2 years to finish that degree. And that's so important because we want students to not only see themselves, get those skill sets, that they can actually do it, the confidence, the ability, but then lessen that debt going forward. So they see there is that pathway that can make a difference. So the most important thing is we're involving all kinds of people from industry, from our alumni, from friends of the university to see what's happening with these students so they can feel that this is something they should be supporting. And as a result of that, these students gain knowledge, experience, and have less debt as they leave the university. And that's the cream on the cake, frankly.
And we're currently with Lisa Kujawa from Lawrence Tech University talking about career pathways and opportunities for students, especially as they graduate. You know, Lisa, your comment there made me appreciate and think about something we hear all the time from employers is we need graduates with capacity and to whatever skill set they have. Sometimes capacity is the ability to be on time, to be able to work in a team and so on. And one of the things I'm intrigued by is whether you move through the middle college and into the university, are there specific career services or assistance you provide graduates in that sort of soft skill realm that helps them launch a career, say, with a BorgWarner or another sponsor like that?
Yes. So our Career Services Office actually works with our current students. They work with the students from our outreach program, and they work with our alumni. And that is specifically to support them on levels of communication, time management, feedback. One of the things we do with all the early middle colleges prior to them starting, we have an orientation day with their parents and their students, and to explain to them what is going on, what's out there for them, how we're going to support them. At the same time, we do almost what we call a freshman course to bring their level of skill sets higher. This is how you talk to a college professor. This is how you email a college professor. So they're getting those skill sets that they might not already have, and we're just kind of making sure we keep pushing that. At the same time, we're monitoring what's going on with them while they're here and having career services meet with them individually. So all of these things make a difference. It's not just about what goes on in the classroom. In some cases, both are important, inside and outside, to be able, again, to create that pathway and that pre-college. And here's the thing. A lot of these students, they don't come to us, but 90% of them, we know 90% of them, based on the data, go on to college. So wherever they're going to go, they're going to have much more, they're going to have less anxiety and much more feeling of confidence and skill sets because they've done it already once.
So after a word from our sponsors, I'd like to continue our conversation about the number of outreach opportunities available at the university. Stay right there. We'll be back right after this.
School Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
We're back with Lisa Kujawa from Lawrence Tech University, and I was intrigued to learn about your particular K-12 outreach program at Lawrence Tech. And I'm wondering, as a good place to start, could you give us an overview of what that outreach is and the kinds of programs and goals that go with such an initiative?
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure. So I've been at LTU 26 years, and probably in 2010, 2012, we started doing a lot of outreach. And our goal first was to offer dual enrollment classes to students. And those students actually came to the campus to take the courses. And most of those courses, as you can imagine, because we're a technological university, were in math, physics, chemistry, biology. Then it moved to we would work with high schools and districts to talk about how we could bring those kinds of courses and other courses into the high schools. Well, that evolved. We have now 55 partners. And in that process, we've moved away from just some high schools saying, hey, we just want a dual enrollment course, to actually now what we're going to offer in the fall at the high school and then this next semester in the spring. And then it evolved into courses like certificate programs or credentials. And then we eventually moved to We have 5 early middle colleges. We have 2 early colleges and an additional 12 partners starting with us in the fall. Now, why is that all important? Because when you are trying to identify as a young person in high school what you want to do when you get to college, or if you even want to go to college, these kinds of outreach programs help you. They help you to identify what you might be interested in. They identify skill sets you may or may not have. You may think you have, but you might not have. And they lessen your debt, which is the most important. And as we have gone through this process in regards to, you know, what we want from our young people in Michigan, many people don't know if they really want to do college. So understanding that perspective of yourself helps you sooner. We even work with the middle schools to work through them of our high school partners, which is important as well. So all those things matter for students who are trying to identify what they are going to do when high school is over.
And, you know, as an extension of that, if they do arrive at the university, does Lawrence Tech offer any particular mentorship or advising programs for incoming students to help them survive that first year?
Yep. So as you know, being a superintendent of K through 12, the first 6 to 8 weeks in a high school, in a college freshman's life is critical, right? It makes or breaks them. So yes, so we have, actually we, because we're a technological university, we have an AI bot that's a blue devil, because that's our mascot is a blue devil, and they reach out to the students within those 6 to 8 weeks at least 15 times. And those messages go to particular people that, based on what the student's answering, we support them. And what's just a side note, what's intriguing is they've done studies on these bots. 90% of the students would rather have a conversation about than me or you. So they'll tell them much more than they would tell me or you. We also have mentors that work with the students. We also have a tutoring 24/7, all kinds of services. We also have faculty mentors. So when you're a private technological university, there's a lot of math and science in all these programs. And so it is critical that we provide those support mechanisms. And we even do that with outreach. We have tutors and mentors during our outreach program as well. And the best part about it is not only are we lessening that student's debt, if they decide to come to LTU, we provide them a partnership scholarship worth over $80,000 for 4 years.
It's fair to say that Lawrence Tech had a reputation for many years of being a commuter school. Is that fair?
Yes, it's very fair.
And it seems to me, based on the many students I know who've attended there and how you've expanded things, that although it might still be viewed that way, it has changed drastically in the last X number of years. Can you share a little bit about how you've moved away from that and what the campus looks like now compared with, say, 20 years ago?
It's a great point. So, yes. In 2010, we brought back athletics, which we actually had athletics in the 50s and the 60s. And now we have 29 sports, including football. They all, students can receive an academic and an athletic scholarship. So we're getting a lot of students that actually who want to continue to pursue their love of their sport, mm-hmm. and at the same time get a technological degree. 1,000 students live on campus. So we did. We went from a commuter school, and now we are really a residential campus. We have 4 residence halls on the campus and actually have a wait list every year. So now we're expanding mm-hmm. to look for additional housing either on campus or with a partner.
So we're currently with Vice President for Enrollment Management from Lawrence Tech University, Lisa Kujawa. So Lisa, let me ask one additional question. The Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts, which was located in Southfield for many, many years, that has become part of the university. Is that correct?
Yes. Specs Howard is now Specs at LTU. And Mr. Lieberman, on his deathbed, we actually, our president, Dr. Tarek Soap, promised him that legacy would continue. Because of, it's very interesting, but both legacies, the Lawrence brothers and Mr. Lieberman, are very the same. It's a family business. They believed in essence, he didn't call it theory and practice, but it was all about that practical applications of those skill sets. And so when we brought Specs on board during COVID, they did a teach-out program for their students, but now every year have close to 60 to 100 students that come in to that Specs program. And, you know, they all get jobs, too. Those kids are extremely bright. And so we've also created pathways from the Specs certificate programs into our degree programs, because those students do want to pursue additional areas that reflect a higher level of skill.
You know, you had mentioned earlier, when dual enrollment first started, many students came to the university physically, and now you're actually out in the schools providing instruction as well. Is that correct?
Yes, we have close to, this year, if we include summer, which we're not at yet, we will have had close to 2,000 dual enrollment school students that have gone through our programs. Now, why do we do this also? Because over 40% of them end up enrolling at LTU as freshmen. And we want great diversity and great students, and they understand what it means to get a technological degree. And as Dr. Soap, our president, says, every job's a tech job. So they're getting a great opportunity to invest in themselves, but also invest in the Michigan economy, the region, and the world.
Lisa Kujawa, not only the Vice President for Enrollment Management at Lawrence Tech University, but definitely a great ambassador for the school. I really appreciate your time sharing with us the outreach efforts and all that you provide incoming students. Thanks for joining us on the program, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
That's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank our guest, Dr. Charles Cotton III from Wayne State University, and Dr. Lisa Kujawa from Lawrence Tech University, for giving us a really nice picture of some wonderful opportunities for students right here in our own backyard. In fact, my conversation today with our guest reinforces for me the number of opportunities that are available for students, whether they choose a career or technical path or a professional path. When I think about the number of opportunities that are available at the K-12 setting, and then connecting that to the wonderful universities that we have across the state of Michigan, this is really a great state when it comes to providing students an opportunity at an education. And I think it's a really important fact to remind all of us that whether you're going the career path, community college, or straight to the university level, or in many cases, people who are willing to serve our country in the armed forces, or simply go to work, it makes what Michigan is a great state, is the diversity of opportunity we have for students as they pursue any number of paths. And when I think about how our culture continues to change, it reminds me of a statistic I once heard, that children who are in school now, many, many of the jobs they will eventually hold in the future have not even been created yet. For example, who would have thought 10 years ago that someone would be working in artificial intelligence? There may have been a few people who predicted it, but when you think about the uncertainty of the future with regard to the kinds of work, it reminds me of how great a state Michigan is in providing a wide range of opportunities for students. That's all the time we have for now, but remember, there are two ways to spell one and three ways to spell two. Till next time, this has been School Talks on 760 WJR.